This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Good Saturday, everybody. How are you? Welcome into another edition of the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. Mr. Herzing, how are you? How was your trip back from Utah?
Oh, man, it was great. I actually it was a fun trip. Had some crazy people in the plane with me talking about cars, believe it or not. Yeah. And it was just awesome. We had a great time.
Very cool. So if you guys missed last week's show, Mike and I were in Park City, Utah, thanks to GMC for the new AT4. And I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about the AT4 line and what Cadillac's going to be doing with it. And it really feels like that brand, you mentioned it last week during the show, Mike, that brand's going to be seen quite a bit. I've actually seen a bunch of AT4s around Vegas over the last couple of days. And it's funny how that happens when you drive a vehicle, you start seeing it more and more out there being driven in the public. But that was a lot of fun. So if you guys missed any part of that show, definitely go to letstalkwheels.com and get the podcast for last week with Mike and I, who were there in Park City. But for this week, I got a lot of really cool things to come, including what your dashboard is going to look like in the future.
It's crazy.
A lot of people are very, I mean, it's good and bad, right? The future of dashboards?
You know, I kind of wanted to get away from having, you know, like my cell phone with 1,400 apps on the cell phone. So there's people like the whole screen is covered with apps and three or four screens. And pretty soon our cars are going to be the same way.
Well, Apple CarPlay already now has the ability to put, I mean, I think they can hold 32 apps right now in Apple CarPlay.
Yeah.
And the competition for that is going to be immense. And it's actually a really big deal for us here in radio.
Yeah.
Because local stations, and we'll get into this during the news segment in the next segment, but local stations could have a very interesting situation on their hands when it comes to how cars are put together and what apps are going to be available on what cars. So
right.
I'm incredibly interested. We'll get into that for sure. We've got a cool conversation coming about you had Eileen on the show, right?
Eileen Falkenberg Holt, yes, from Atlanta. We were talking about buying a used car and some of the deals that are coming out.
So we'll have her on the show, and then we've got our automotive reviews. I know you're driving a gorgeous new Infiniti.
Yep.
I was driving an electric vehicle that we'll get into a little bit, the Nissan Leaf E Plus, which has a 220-mile radius range.
That's neat.
On that bad boy. Yeah, I'll tell you all about charging it and whatnot. So we'll do that coming up. So we've a lot to come. Don't move. Stick around for this week's edition. We're right back after this here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing. This new segment being brought to you by Jeep. Beginning of the year is a perfect time to bring out your very best. So go farther and dream bigger on a Jeep brand vehicle. Hurry in for great deals now at the Jeep Start Something New event. Okay, let's talk, Mike, a bit about your dashboard.
Yes.
So Domino's Pizza has made the announcement that they are going to continue their quest to let you order from every device possible. They have partnered with a company that will allow you to order pizzas through your car's infotainment system. No tethering a smartphone would be required. So you can avoid distraction by placing a, quote, easy order or repeating your last order or track your food's progress on the app that would be on your car dash. Now, this is obviously not through Apple CarPlay, but you know, right now all apps are run through Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Right.
In the very near future, Mike, that's not going to be the case.
No, it's going to be the cars are going to have the app, their own little setup.
And so this brings into a very interesting conversation about what goes on your app, what goes on your dashboard. There is a massive question because, look, you're going to have to pay to get on that, right? I mean, car companies aren't going to just put on there for fun, right?
Oh, no. That's going to be another source of revenue for them. Absolutely.
So what goes on there and who gets on there is really interesting because this is where your local radio stations are really concerned.
Yeah.
Because big brands, your ESPNs, your Fox Sportses, your SB Nation radios, your big national sports brands, well, they might have the opportunity to say, well, we have the best market exposure of anybody, so our app has to go on there. So, and it's worth it for us financially to make sure the consumer has access to the app by putting it on the phone, on the car's dash, and to paying for it. But what do you do about the small station in Houston or the small station in Las Vegas? How do they have, are they at a massive competitive disadvantage if more and more vehicles are able to have this technology? And then what if you're Pizza Hut or what if you're Papa John's or whatever, and you don't have, you know, the opportunity to get into GMC vehicles or to Jeep vehicles or whatever, and you have exclusivity deals going to be pushed for those app companies, right? It creates a whole new dynamic, doesn't it?
Well, for example, maybe the Ram vehicles will have Domino's, and the GM vehicles, you know, for example, GM trucks will have Papa John's, and the Ford trucks will have, you know, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right, but what happens to Joe Blow Pizza Shop down the street?
There you go. Luigi's Pizza Shop that over, you know, down the street, they're out of luck.
Right.
And that's tough. But also, but again, if you put an app for your local, maybe there ought to be a way you can get your local stuff and put the app on the screen.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, that might be your Grubhub. That might be your local, I don't know, like your delivery app, right, your Uber Eats or something like that. Maybe that's how it works,
right,
where you can get your local pizza shop through those types of apps,
right,
which you would assume that those companies are going to want to be on, you know, are going to want to pay for it. But,
oh, absolutely. And you know, they want exclusivity too.
Sure. And there is the question of, this is one where Domino's, I think, has been on the forefront of this, that they'll deliver your pizza to wherever you are, and they've got these like Domino's hotspots.
Right.
So you don't have to be at your house. You could be at the ball game. You could be at the at grandma's house. You could be watching, you know, walking your dog or something, and you could go ahead and have a pizza guy delivered to where you're going to be.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, one of the benefits for Domino's to go ahead and do this first, because they already are trying to have these opportunities. They're already trying to make this happen. And to be a part of this. So it's a pretty interesting world right now when it comes to the technology in your car, and the fight now could be for your dash, right? I mean, well, there's only so many spaces you can go on there.
But think about it. Now, when people leave the house, they start making phone calls. You know what I mean? You're not. It's dead time normally driving. You listen to the radio. Except, no, nowadays you make call after call after call after call. You know, you can do it hands-free, and it's okay. Uh-oh, sounds like the alarm's going off there.
Yeah, we have these fun things here at the Palms Casino where I'm located, where I tape the show, where we do the show, and we get it's where we do my national radio show during the week, too. And so this should stop here in a second,
oh,
but just if you're driving here on Saturday morning listening, don't worry.
Yep.
There's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
It's just something that we live with here, unfortunately. It should stop here in a second, but it's something that I've been living with now for 6 months. As the fire department decides this would be a good time to test on a Saturday morning. You
know? Yeah, so that's okay on Saturday, period. Yeah.
Yeah, well, at least you're not staying here, because this has been always my point to people that, like, if I was staying at a casino in Las Vegas and I get woken up by this fire alarm, I'm going to be pretty salty about it. I'm not going to be very happy.
Well, also, you might be a little nervous because it might be real. But either way, going back to what we were talking about is people are now using the car as your mobile office, because we never get off downtime anymore. I was riding my motorcycle to the studio, and everybody's on their phone. I look around, everybody's on their phone. And they also try to run over me. But that's okay. People do that anyway, because once they get to know me, they try to run over me anyway.
Right.
But these people were doing it by accident. And so think about that. So now you're going to have – I'm going to – instead of calling the pharmacy, let's say you're at CVS Pharmacy or Walgreens or Walmart, I'll probably have an app on my screen for Walmart or for whatever. I can order my groceries from Walmart. And I'll drive over there on the way, and an hour, say, obviously I'll be going by Walmart at 3. It's only 11 now, but by 3 o'clock they'll have pulled my order. I just pull in there. They'll load it in my car. I drive away. So all that convenience stuff, it's going to make in some ways it's going to make our life better. But to me, somebody that I love going to the store, I love certain times. There's sometimes I don't want to, but there's times I love going to the store, finding out the new products and this kind of stuff, and just you know, cruising the store, because what's new? I'm a guy. I don't get to go to the grocery store very often. And so that's kind of cool. It's kind of sad in a way, because we don't have any downtime anymore.
Yeah, I think the connectivity issue is one that we're all running into. And what type of – how much screen time are we all going to have? And not just our kids, but us as adults.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a lot of screen time here. If your car is your screen, I really wonder how we all disconnect, turn off, shut off when we're staring at apps constantly,
and
right?
I work – to stay away from the phone. I, you know, there are times I don't want to be on the phone. Okay,
right.
I just want to be near. I went to the dentist the other day for a, you know, try to get a root canal. Oh boy!
Ooh.
And so I'm looking there. There are like eight people in the office waiting, and they have a couple of the 2-3 dentists there, and there's like eight of us in there. Everybody's on their phone the whole time. Does one person speak to the other? Oh no. They're on their phones. They're doing this. They're doing that. Some of them are playing solitaire. Some of them are answering emails. Some are doing this or that. And I looked at myself and I went, you know, that could be me. So I just put the phone in my pocket. You know, I'm just like, I got to have time when I'm not on the phone. And that, and the cars are going to be now our biggest phone. You know, I don't know what we can do about that. What do you think?
I think there's a big question, at least for me, there's a big question about how do we protect our local businesses, our small businesses, if automobiles are going to be pre-populating our dashboards with applications.
Yeah, but
and I know that's coming.
Think about something. You get a phone, and it's preloaded with apps that you don't even want, right?
True.
And
very
we
true.
We ought to be able to delete them and put in our local ones. I bet you that.
Yeah, that's my point, because I think we're going to have that option. We're going to be able to go ahead and have to change those apps out to make those apps what we want them to be. But that also means that your local pops, you know, mom and pop shop has to have the technology, and it has to be cheap enough for them to be able to afford it so they can tell their customers, hey, by the way, make sure you download our automobile app for ordering whatever it might be, or directions, or, you know, reservations, or whatever it might be, because our cars are becoming such like mobile phones. I mean, we've talked about this about CES here in Vegas, about how much the CES show is cars. I mean, it's your car is becoming a full extension of your phone and becoming more of an electronic unit than actually having a unit of transportation per se. It's doing so much more than just that, right?
Well, yeah, but also then think we have to update the technology, or, you know, this kind of stuff. It'd be just like having, okay, I've got an Android 6, but I want an Android 8, or an iPhone 4, and I want an iPhone 9, and so can we update the technology and that kind of stuff? That's another whole bag of worms, but you're right. And they're trying to get us off our phones and while we're in the car and get it into the car.
Yeah, but the car is becoming the phone.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, okay, we'll have to continue this conversation soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of interesting things to come down the pike, and a lot of things we don't know yet, and we don't know how it's going to operate. But, you know, it's something that in the radio industry, we've been talking about it for a very long time, just about how the local brands are going to handle the national brands, and, you know, how do you keep pace? You know, before it was all, you know, the podcast apps and your podcast streaming and your live streaming and whatnot. And I think local radio did a good job of competing with that. But now moving into the automobile sector of the pre-populated apps on your dashboard, I think there's a lot of interesting things to come from that for sure. All right. You had a conversation with our good friend Eileen. What did you guys talk about?
Talk about the used cars and the best way to buy, the best value you can get out of getting a used car or even a new car.
Very cool. So we got that conversation coming up, then our automotive reviews and our question and answers as we continue on this week's edition of the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. This is Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault, and we've got a real joy here because we have Eileen Falkenberg-Hull on the show. And now Eileen's going to come to be a significant part of the show starting next week. We're going to see her, hear from her every week, and we're all excited about that. I think it's going to be a great addition to Let's Talk Wheels. Eileen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great. And we've got a lot of stuff. We always like to pick your brain about some of the stuff because you go to every event and run across the country like a crazy person. And there's one thing. It was an article in some of the journals last week about used car sales, and they're tracking at a record pace. New car sales are dropping down a little bit. Of course, it's because they're so freaking expensive. And what is your take on that?
Well, new cars are very expensive, and I think a car coming off of a 1 or 2 year lease deal, or even a 3 year lease deal, can be a really good budget friendly decision for people. And there's some amazing deals out there for new cars as well. If you want to go that route, as long as you don't want the latest technology. That's kind of the barrier now between the used car and the new car market, is how much high tech do you need in your car? If you need a lot of high tech, if you need Android Auto and Apple CarPlay and Amazon Alexa integration, then you're probably going to want to go the new car route. But if you're not one of those people, if you're good with navigation and your HD radio and your Sirius XM, then you might want to look at a leased car that is just coming back into the market after 2 or 3 years on the road.
Well, you know, it depends on, like, when they do a refresh. You know, they'll do a redesign, what, every 6 or 7 years, but they'll do a refresh of a vehicle every 3 years or so, and that gives them, basically, they catch up on all the technology then. So, for example, when was the F-150 refresh? A couple years ago? And if you picked up one of those... Go ahead.
But yeah, it's just a couple of years into that, and you can get it. You can get a truck, but I mean, even the Nissan Frontier, which is a great example because it's a fantastic compact truck that has, over the years, evolved with technology. It doesn't have the best and the greatest of everything,
but it's
got
a
pretty good suite of tech.
Yeah,
it's a great truck to drive, really driver-friendly. And you can get that right now for $0 down, 0% financing, and zero payments for 90 days. That's a heck of a deal. So, you know, it still has the capacity you want as a daily driver. And the Frontier is a great truck. So, you know, it's like I said, it's all about what you really need and what you want.
Well, yeah, also, their resale value is very strong. Their residual value on the Frontier, because they haven't changed it much. Now, they will, I think, in a year or two, but they haven't changed it much. So it's, the residual value is kind of like almost like that of a Tacoma or a Wrangler. And so those are, when you get to a Tacoma or Wrangler or something like that, it's almost better to try to get your best deal and buy a new one because they don't lose their value much. But there's a lot of vehicles. Like right now, if you're looking for a killer deal on just transportation, you can pick up a car, maybe like a Ford Fusion or a Taurus or a Chevy Cruze or something that's been discontinued. You can pick up deals on those, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, even look at the Mazda 3. So the new Mazda 3 just debuted to the media this week. And we're seeing the old Mazda 3 outgoing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a great car.
Right.
It's just that the new one has, you know, that new car smell to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting a 2018 that might still be sitting on dealer lots is a great way to get an engaging daily driver that's budget-friendly, that's fuel-efficient, and that you don't have to pay a lot of premium for.
Well, you know, I bought a lease return car for my wife, in 2015, October 2015, and we were looking at Ford Explorers, and she wanted a Limited. And so they were like, sticker was 41 on them, and I found lease returns for about 32 or 33 for 2014s and 2013s, and that's great. They all had about 30,000 miles. I happened to find out of Florida from a company and found a 2015, and this is 2015 that I was looking at, that we were in. I bought a 2015 for 26.6 with 32,000 miles. It's still under factory warranty. If there was any problem with it, I could have actually gone to the dealer and had them fix it. Okay, so I looked at that. I'm eligible for a new car warranty, and I ended up saving, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 over, even if you negotiated a good price. So I got a great vehicle for that. Now, here's the other side of that. I sold it about 3 years later because I knew they're coming out with a new Taurus, and that's going to drop the value of it. They're coming out with a new redesign, rear-wheel drive, and the whole bit, like any this year, I believe. And so I took it and sold that and got, you know, I got like 23. I basically had it for 3 years, put 30,000 miles on it, and paid $3,000. It was great.
That's a great deal, Mike. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. And you can get cars that really retain their value. You can check Edmunds.com and U.S. News and World Report's cars section. They do a lot of best cars for the money, and they do a lot of articles that really tell you which cars hold their value. So it's important to do your research that way just before you go out and buy a used car. That way you can see that you are getting back what you paid for it.
Well, you know, some of the cars that do drop in value, they plummet, or some of the electric cars, because it's kind of like a computer. The technology changes so much, you don't know when to dive in and spend $1,000 on a computer knowing then 6 months or 3 months it's outdated and it's not worth it anymore. But some of the electric cars that were out just a couple years ago, you can pick up a 2-year-old Fiat 500 or a Nissan Leaf for like $5,000 or $6,000. They have 20 to 30,000 miles on them. It's a deal. If you've got a kid that's just, you know, gonna in high school or something like that, needs a car, you don't want them to go too far. Of course, they can't go too far because these, you know, they get 85 or 90 miles on a charge. They can't go too far. They're still under warranty on some of them. It's a deal. You know, those are like screaming deals. And that's what a great way to do something for a kid.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. The other thing to remember is that you can get a lot of certified pre-owned cars from dealerships that come with, you know, a 3 to 5 year warranty. Some of them are, I think, are even 7 years now.
Right.
That come on a used car purchase that you can get from a dealership. And also, a lot of the new car warranties are transferable now. So that's a really, really nice thing that they're packaging in there with either new or used cars.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Folks, this is Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault from Let's Talk Wheels on the SB Nation Radio Network, and we're talking to Eileen Falkenberg-Hull. She's out of Atlanta, and this lady knows everything about cars. So, Eileen, we were talking about that. Now, you know, a lot of these vehicles, people will go, I'll go to auction and buy one. I'll buy one off a little used car lot. And those are okay, but the dealer's going to have the best cars and the cars that they don't want, right? They'll give it to auction. Well, all these used car lots, they go to the auction and they'll pick it up. And, you know, maybe there's a problem with it. Maybe there's this or that. They're good enough to know it, but most people aren't, you know. So they've got to beware when they go to these little neighborhood used car lots, right?
Absolutely. And that is another benefit of the certified pre-owned program, besides the warranty, is that most of them have to pass this multi-point inspection. And you're not talking 5, 6, 7 points. It's 120 points
right.
of inspection. And you'll be able to see that sheet as a buyer. And at that time, a lot of the dealerships will go ahead and remedy any situations as long as it's cost effective to them and makes the car more saleable. And when that happens, you know, you as a buyer, you're getting a warranty. You know you're getting a car that's going to run when you get it off the lot. And if it doesn't run, you've got something to fall back on. And for buyer assurance, that's really, really strong, especially if you're buying a used car for your teenager or for your grandparent or something like that.
Well, you know, you're right. You're exactly right because, you know, it's great to buy them the most car that you can get when they're graduating, like high school or going to college or something like that. They're going to be away from the house. You know, you don't have your neighborhood shop that you've been with for years, and they're out in another city, and you have to go find somebody for the work on their car if it fails and this kind of stuff. So to get them something with lower mileage, and maybe it may be not the fanciest or the top model or something, but you can get them something that's reliable, good transportation with some sort of a warranty. I mean, that's a win-win, isn't it?
Absolutely. And another thing to think about is if you buy a CPO vehicle through a dealership, a lot of times when you return to that dealership to get your maintenance, because it is covered by the warranty, your child, grandparent, or even yourself will be able to take advantage of a kind of a fleet car that they have on site for the day. So you're not out of transportation for an entire day or 2 days or 3 days to get your work done. And that's at no added cost to you. And that's obviously dealership dependent, but that's another one of those benefits. Not to say that buying a car off the corner doesn't have its fine points. It absolutely does. But the CPO program, the dealerships and manufacturers have put a lot of work into those to make sure they're attractive to buyers. And it's becoming a more and more attractive option in the past few years.
You know, you're absolutely right, because the cars are so complex nowadays. It's hard for that. And like, if you get a hybrid or an electric car, you really almost have to go back to the dealer for your stuff, because nobody else has the software to work on these things and update the hybrid system or the EV cars. They need it all the time. So eventually the cars will be updated over the internet, you know, as they're driving along, but right now it's not really there yet. So there's a lot of updates have to be done and things like that. So you have to go to the deal. So you got to understand your costs are going to be a little bit higher on that, right?
Absolutely. You're generally going to have a higher average labor cost at a dealership. But the other important thing to remember, if you have an EV, not every dealership is trained for EV maintenance and sales. You might only have one out of maybe two or three dealerships in a region that will do your EV maintenance. So when you do purchase a new electric vehicle or even a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, to find out if that vehicle can be serviced at your chosen dealership or if you're going to need to go 30, 40 miles across town to get that service. That's a very, very important aspect. A lot of EV buyers don't know about, because it's not talked about, because it's not an attractive part of the sale process.
You know, you're exactly right. And also, it's nice to have your friendly neighborhood dealer to go to and things like that. But you're right. You don't always get to go to your neighborhood dealer unless they're EV. Now, I'm also vetting in the next couple years, the next year or so, almost every dealer is going to be EV certified, because they're coming and they're here.
Right, absolutely. And what we're seeing is that as more manufacturers roll out these EVs and these PHEVs into dealerships, they're doing that training. Now, if you buy a vehicle in Oregon and you move to Georgia, you might not have a dealership that can service that. And, you know, it might be one of those conversations you have to have with the dealership and say, hey, can you send somebody to go take this class to go learn how to work on my car?
Yeah, so you're right.
As simple as moving within the U.S. can be a challenge for EV owners and PHEV owners, but that should not turn them off of buying them. They are viable vehicles. They are good vehicles. It's just something else on the navigation side for buyers to be aware of.
All right. Now, folks, I want to remind you that this segment is brought to you by Nissan. Then we just made our choice for a new car, an easier one than ever with our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours, folks. Now get great offers across the full line. Shop at local Nissan store today and choose Nissan.com. Eileen, thanks for joining us today. And you and I are going to do the whole entire show next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the studio next week, Mike.
Okay, folks, this is Mike Herzing and Matt Peralt and Eileen Falkenberg-Hull on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. We'll be right back for another segment right after this.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Peralt and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Peralt as we continue live in Park City, Utah, where we are here for the very fun GMC X84 launch. This segment is being brought to you by our friends at Jeep. The beginning of the year is a perfect time to bring out your very best to go farther and dream bigger in a Jeep brand vehicle. Hurry in for great deals now at the Jeep Start Something New event. I have got a Toyota truck I'm going to review, but I'm going to hand the mic over to Mr. Herzing. He's going to give you his review, and then we'll do some conversations on what's happening here coming up for some truck bed and some fun things that we've learned here on our trip to Park City. But, Mr. Herzing, what were you driving?
This week, I was driving a Nissan Armada 2019. Now, the Armada is the flagship of the Nissan's, you know, SUVs and CUVs. They've been making it for a lot of years. This is the Mac Daddy. And they make it in a lot of different versions. You know, when you get in it, it's as big as a Expedition or a Suburban or something like that. And it's, you know, they were always a little bit clunky, you know, but now they're just good looking. And they were always a good vehicle. Now, this has a V8. This thing can tow 8,500 pounds. It has cojones, is what you want to say. It's got seating for eight, or you can get it with the captain's chairs in the second row. That knocks it down to seven. But the third row has got plenty of room. This is great. I mean, I had kids. I had grandkids. I had dogs. I had everything in this vehicle, and I drove it up to the lake house. It was just great. Plenty of room. It's so quiet inside. Got a big sunroof. Very comfortable. Now, of course, the one they gave me was the Platinum four-wheel drive. Now, you know, it's funny. It's four-wheel drive. It has mud, snow, you know, ranges. It's pretty capable off-road. But like I said, they've added a lot of things to it. It's got a lot of extra goodies. This generation is in its third year. And it's the second generation of the Armada. And this one's got the standard rear door alert, which tells you when you've left somebody in the back seat and this kind of stuff, or somebody or something that you need. It's got standard intelligent cruise control, which is really kind of nice. It just takes – when you're going to reach over and whack the kids or something like that, or they're, you know, the dogs have, you know, some kind of problem, you can just go, all right, don't make me pull over. And, you know, it kind of covers it for you when you have to take your eyes off the road for a second. It's got standard automatic emergency braking and standard intelligent forward collision warning. So this is stuff they just give you. And it always has the cool stuff, like when you air up the tires, it, you know, honks the horn and tells you, okay, that's the pressure you want. It has the round, they call it the bird's eye view camera. It's got a nice big screen. But they've done all this lane departure warning, the blind spot warning, intelligent backup prevention. And it also has something you don't see a lot of, what the old traditional imports have, is push-button start, remote start. That is so handy when it's a cold morning and stuff. You know how it is, even in Vegas. And but really, the Platinum Reserve has got the everything to the next level with all this dark chrome exterior trim, 20-inch dark chrome wheels, and two-tone leather-appointed seats, and they look so cool. Now, I did a video on this. You guys have to check it out on our YouTube channel, or Let's Talk Wheels. It's really cool. But the design is good-looking. Like I said, it's plenty of power. The fuel economy, I got about 18 on the highway, and I was driving pretty good, and then I had a headwind, and I got it down. It got down to like 17. But, you know, it's really worse. These things started about 46. Now, if you get the Platinum Reserve 4x4, it's 65. But that is standard. That's, matter of fact, that might be on the cheap side if you were looking at a Suburban or something like that. It's probably about the same as a Grand Cherokee. But you can get it two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. Like I said, it has plenty of room. It's a good-looking vehicle. If you're looking for a 7 or 8 passenger,
you know, SUV, this would be the one. It's got plenty of power, lots of room, it's quiet, and it does, it just checks all the boxes. You know, so if you're looking for any of that kind of stuff, the only thing maybe nicer would be an Infiniti, which is a Nissan product too. But this one is probably just as nice. The interior is so pretty. So we have to look at it on the video. It's really cool. Go to letstalkwheels.com, and we'll have a video up next week or so. But it's really great. All right, what did you have?
Before I do that, let me tell you a little bit about Nissan. At Nissan, they, and you were talking about Nissan, Mike, they just made your choice for a new car easier, an easier choice than ever with the most exciting fuel-efficient lineup. The choice is yours. Right now, get in great offers across the full line of Nissan products. Shop your local Nissan store today or choose Nissan.com for online. I was driving a 2019 Toyota Tundra, the TRD Pro model or trim line. This is their off-road vehicle. And for me, you know, I'm the novice here on the show. So I'm the guy that gets in the truck and has to figure out what all the things do and all the different knobs and whatnot. But this truck I know can go off-road. So that's what I do. I take these things off-road. I have a chance in Vegas to go into the wilderness, if you will. We have some really great off-roading trails and areas around. So it's always a lot of fun. And you can use the skid plates and the Fox shocks and the TRD dual exhaust, which is great. The TRD tuned suspension and the 18-inch BBS wheels are awesome. You bounce around and you feel like you're having an opportunity to really, you know, flex the muscles of this vehicle and get this thing running and get this thing really up to speed, as, you know, get the full capability of what this truck is capable of doing. And, you know, the thing with Toyota that I talk about a lot here is, and this is just something that we know is coming from Toyota, but this is a vehicle with, you know, a starting price tag of $55,000. So what I hope we're going to see in the very near future are things like keyless entry. Okay. This is something for a truck of that cost and competing with the SUVs that it's competing with and the other off-road trucks that are on the market right now, not having keyless entry was a little bit surprising. So that needs to happen. I've talked about the only, you know, how Toyota only puts one USB port on the console. That needs to change, and I hope it does change in the very near future. I hope we see like 10 of them, you know. Yeah, so it's coming in the future, we think. The larger infotainment screen, which this has Apple CarPlay, but it doesn't have Android Auto. I'm an Apple guy, so it didn't bother me too much, but I know people who have Androids wish to see Android Auto. You know, heated seats, something that you would expect to see coming up in the near future for the Tundra TRD Pro. So hopefully we're going to see that's going to happen. But the back seat of this thing is enormous. I mean, enormous. Huge, so much room. You can fold the seats up. You can fold the seats, I guess it's not down, but you can fold the seats up to get even more space. It's a really fun vehicle, at least for my family. There's only three of us, so it's really fun to get in there, and you can put tons of stuff in the back seat, and you can put, you know, five full-size adults, no problem whatsoever. You know, I was driving this very sleek, dark gray. The grill is really, really manly and really pronounced. It's a sharp-looking truck. You know, you see it, and you're like, wow, that's gorgeous. And, you know, the big back seat, big back doors that open up, make it really easy for anybody to get in and out of. You know, I do like this truck a lot, and some people, the number one critique I've read online from people saying that, you know, the fuel economy is not great. It does have two V8 engines, and it comes in two different trims, a 4.6 liter with 310 horsepower or a 5.7 liter with 381 horsepower, 6-speed automatic transmission. You know, the EPA fuel economy is not awesome. The 4.6 comes in about 15 miles per gallon, and the, you know, you go up another level, and you're talking about 13, 14 miles per gallon, which is not ideal, but I mean, that's coming along here. It's a truck with a big engine and a ton of capability and a ton of power. The bed is big with tons of hooks. You know, I really found in terms of my ability to drive this vehicle anywhere I wanted to, I could. And it's built for it. The tires are really athletic. The tires are very aggressive. The engine's there. I've been driving a lot of trucks in this category. You know, I don't get a lot of big, you know, the 2500 category, the heavy duty category. I'm not driving a ton of trucks of that size, but, you know, in terms of what I would buy, what I would look to for my family, if I was looking for a truck, I think the Tundra really is nice. I just hope that in the future we start to see them become a little bit more aggressive with the interior. And I think that Toyota recognizes that. I think that they figured that out from their customers and some of the questions that their customers have posed to them as to, like, okay, We love your brand. We love your engines. We love your performance. What we want are what the competitors are putting in the vehicle from an interior standpoint in terms of infotainment system, in terms of USB ports, in terms of, you know, just the typical heated seats. The keyless entry thing is probably my biggest critique of the whole vehicle because I've just become very used to that. And to have a price tag of that high, I was very surprised to see that not be there. But it's coming. And hopefully we will see key fobs. And I like throwing the key fob down in the dash and just go ahead and not have to turn the car over, turn the car on with the key. It's actually awkward now when I do have to do it. It was a little weird that I do have to use a key to turn the car on, to turn the truck on. So 2019 Toyota Tundra. If you like the Tundras, you're going to love this vehicle. I picked up my friend who is 6'9", and his father, who is 6'8". And one was in the back seat, one was in the front seat. Front seat, he had plenty of room. Back seat, he could have laid down and gone to sleep if he wanted to. There's so much room in the back seat. So it's roomy. It's really athletic. Off-road capability. I love the fact that you can go off-road, you know, sand, dirt, mud, whatever I was trying to do, rock, really. I didn't go too much on the rocks, but really, it's a very capable off-road vehicle for sure for the 2019 Tundra Pro, TRD Pro. So, let's move on to tailgates for a second, Mike, because here we are in Park City, Utah for the GMC event. But, you know, one thing that I think is interesting, you know, what do you feel like the future of the tailgate is? Because it seems like everyone has something cool for their tailgate for their new truck.
Well, you know, it started off with Ford when Ford decided that they were going to put the step in their tailgate. And that was, and it's pretty complicated and it pulls down and everything else. And then that was part of it. You know, I remember when they just didn't even have cameras in the back, much less you can open them with a key fob. So they just do so much now. Then Ram comes out with the multifunction tailgate. And then now GMC comes out with their version of it. And they're all they're a lot different actually. And, you know, the Ram will open to the side, kind of like swinging doors. And that's kind of cool. But all these are just better for the customer. There's something you're going to like. Now, there are people that are out there buying. I'm a Ford guy, and that's all I'm buying. I'm a GMC guy. I'm a Ram guy. You know, that's – and Toyotas and things like that. Toyotas and Nissans are the ones that are way behind on this kind of stuff. They don't offer any of that. So there's a lot of neat stuff
out there. Hold on. Why is that? Why?
I don't know. Also, don't forget, Nissan and Toyota haven't redesigned their trucks in 10 years, probably. And, you know, they're making money on them. They're selling them. Toyota's selling the heck out of them, so why? And here that they're going to do it in 2021. Those models are going to be all redesigned. They finally bit the bullet in doing it. And I bet you they'll have some sort of a tailgate because that's the new deal. They have to offer so much to the truck buyer. My God, these trucks are $65,000, $70,000. Are you kidding me? You know, it's twice as much as my first house. But honest to gosh, you know, but they've got to do it. And they're also they're trying to help customers. They're trying to get the trailer towing guy. You know, I can get into my tailgate in the back of my truck without having to unhook the trailer and this kind of thing. I can't tell how many tailgates I've dented because had seen dented as they pop open and it hits the jack of the trailer. Oh my God, big dent. And that's the upside. The downside is these are $8,000 tailgates. You know, if you ever had somebody steal one, oh my gosh. I remember a few years ago, 6 or 8 years ago, people used to steal tailgates all the time. That was a big deal. Especially when they came out with a camera. There was, you know, $2,000 tailgate. But now it's $9,000 tailgate. So, you know, it's a great, and it just makes trucks more versatile. That's why people are buying more of them as their family car. You know, it's if I'm going to have somebody out in a little car or somebody out in a big manly truck that if somebody runs into them, they're fine. Mm-hmm. You know, little cars are very safe unless, of course, you get run into by a big car. Then it's not so safe, you know. I would like to have a big car, you know. Plus, you know that they get 20 miles to gallon. 20, you know, some of the big Suburbans and Grand Cherokees get 23 miles to gallon. Sometimes if you don't drive like you and I, we get 24. So you got to admit there's more value in it. So that's what customers demand more and more. And you know what? The car makers are doing it. So more power to them.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see the race, and you mentioned Nissan and Toyota not being in the race, but just watching over the last year even that we're seeing, and we'll get into this more coming up in the next segment a little bit, but it just seems like there is a race to produce newer products that offer more convenience to the truck owner and more capability for the truck buyer. And it feels like if you're in the truck market, you're ecstatic. It's all about you.
Yeah, you bet. This is the best time to buy a truck and be a truck person. But also, don't forget, this is what the companies make the most money off of. And so what do they want to sell? What they make the most money off of. You know, it's not a Chevy Cruze. It's going to be, you know, a $70,000 truck. So you got to look at that. So, you know, we deserve it. We need it.
We'll talk more about the truck and the truck market coming up here as we continue. We are in Park City, Utah for the GMC ATV event. We'll kind of put a wrap on the event and on the trip out here next coming up as we continue on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network on SB Nation Radio. Here's Matt Perrault and the car guru himself, Mike Herzing.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing, and my partner Matt Perrault joins us from Las Vegas, but not exactly. He's in the middle of a fire alarm at the Palms Hotel right there, and it's making him crazy, so he can't even talk to us right now. So we're going to try to squeeze in one more car question, and I'll handle it. Here's Landon has a 2016 BMW. Seems to want to track to the right. Tires have been rotated. They've been computer balanced. The alignment's been handled twice. The car has only 54,000 miles. The tires only have 4,000 miles on them. What could it be? It isn't logical. He's an engineer. One, he says, I'm beating his head against the wall. What it sounds like is a radial tire pull. I would take your tires and switch, not just your normal rotation, switch your left tire to the right front, take your left front, put it on the right front on the left front, and see if that makes it pull the other way. If it does, then you have a radial tire pull. That's common. It's not a jerk your wheel out of your hands, but it's one of those drifts that on a expensive car like that makes you crazy. But that's what it was, and I'm sure that's what it is because it's the alignment's right. And there should be some way that actually they can maybe change the alignment a little bit, but they can compensate for that. But honestly, it's probably going to be tires. All right, now Jonathan's looking to buy a truck with only 21,000 miles. He's found one. The seller says that the truck has been declared rebuilt. Now, we talked about that earlier in the show. Is that why it seems like a great deal? Yeah, I'm assuming it has the hail damage on the entire truck that caused it. Has little dents all over the place. What are the problems with buying a rebuilt truck, and what are the difference between a salvage title and a rebuilt title? Well, salvage title means that the vehicle has been totaled by the insurance company. It's either had anywhere from 70 to 80% of its value in repairs needed, so they just total it. It goes to an auction. Well, then it comes with a salvage title. If somebody goes and repairs it, then it's got a rebuilt title, which means it's been repaired and supposedly fixed. Well, the states don't check a lot of that. Now, if you've got a vehicle that you're going to drive it forever, because once you buy it, it's yours, and you don't mind buying a vehicle with all these little dents on it, then that's not a bad deal, okay? But you got to understand, you're going to save a lot of money, but I would offer them a lot less than they're asking, because you're going to be stuck with it. And you also may have trouble getting full coverage insurance or even financing, because a lot of companies don't want to finance something that's already been totaled. So look at that. Jonathan, if you have any questions, you can always email me at letstalkwheels.com. Just go to our website. At the top of the thing, it says Contact Mike. Fill out the forms, and I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. All right, folks. Remember, this is on behalf of Mike Herzing, Matt Perrault, our producer, Robert Harris. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. We'll see you next week.